This week on the Spooky Dudes podcast, we are dreaming about a demon. That's right. It's our episode on 1982 flick, The Incubus. Stick around.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
When shadows fall and spirits howl, zombies stalk and madmen prowl. Monsters lurk and victims shiver. Thrills and chills they will deliver. Arise from your graves and get in the mood. It's time to join the Spooky Dudes.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back for another episode of the Spooky Dudes podcast, where tonight we will be discussing the 1982 American-Canadian horror film
Demon Rape.
Incubus, or The Incubus. Pardon me while I burst into flames, Eric Williams.
Is that part of the movie?
No, that's that Incubus song.
Oh.
Pardon me. Sorry. It's not a super well-known band, I guess.
Not today. Not today. I mean, it's not like not today. I mean, like today's standards.
Oh, not today.
Yeah.
So that's Eric Williams.
Hello.
I'm Corey Keelan, and together we turn in this big ball of semen known as the Spooky Dudes.
Touch the tips.
Shwing, shwing, shwing. So we will be talking about The Incubus this evening. But first, we've got a little horror news for you. Greg Nicotero, everybody knows Greg Nicotero, my old buddy Greg Nicotero.
Yep.
Rubbing elbows with Nicotero. He is apparently in charge of a really exciting restoration project. They're restoring Bruce the Shark from Jaws. Eric brought this back to my attention earlier, and at first I got a little scared because I thought he was saying they were remaking Jaws. And I was like, no, the hell, they are not. Why would they do this? And then I was like, oh, yeah, they're restoring the shark.
Give it time.
It does not need to happen.
Let me make it so. I was here. This is just anyone who's always like, why are they making remakes? Why can Hollywood come up with their own ideas? Whatever you want to say. Let me make it pretty clear. One, is it popular? Will it make money? Is there potential for franchisability to repeat one and two? That's the reasons. Anything and everything. It's never somebody that's like, you know what? I remember the thing as a kid. Let's redo that. No, it's literally those three things.
You know,
so it will happen at some point.
It might. I don't know. I feel like that's one. I just don't feel like it's going to happen.
I don't know. Spielberg, he has pull. He can probably stop it from happening.
I don't. Who wants to be the guy to try and remake a Steven Spielberg movie, to try to remake the movie that was the first summer blockbuster? Who wants to be the guy to follow that up? And it's inevitably sucks. Like, normally we're like, yeah, man, we'll give these remakes an open mind and stuff. But I just don't think it's possible.
There's some casting choices just to get you enticed. Okay. The cop is played by, Ice-T.
Oh, okay. We're done here. It sounds like.
And the guy on the beach, or no, the guy on the dock, he's like, a what? That's played by Tara Reid.
All right. I see you put some thought into this in the last second.
I could go more because you basically take everyone who has been in every single crappy shark movie and pull them all. That's your cast.
Ian Ziering. So that's some news there. That's nice. Are you familiar with the work of Ari Aster?
I am.
You ham? I am. You turkey? Yeah. You turkey?
I am. I did Hereditary
and something else. Right? Hereditary's the only one I know of. But he has a follow-up to Hereditary coming out. It's not a sequel to Hereditary. It's another movie, but you know, they always have the, it's kind of like Jordan Peele with Us. Like, we all saw Get Out and we all thought Get Out was good. I heard very few people say Get Out's a bad movie.
I saw it, but those are from certain kind of people who just want to hate on stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. The internet hate brigade. But that being said, I loved Hereditary. I don't think it's perfect, but a first outing from a new director that gets you excited, kind of gets you stoked for the follow-up. You know, you want to see if they can follow through and make another successful flick.
I'm not on the same boat, just because Hereditary, this didn't click with me. I watched it twice. I tried, gave it another go. For some reason, it just didn't jive with me. So I'm still on the fence with this one. I'll give it a chance, though.
It didn't click with Susan either. She said it was too slow.
Well, we'll get into slow movies fairly soon. They have their merits.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a reason why some slow movies work and others don't.
I loved Hereditary. It was my top film of 2018. Top horror film, I should say.
Actors on Hereditary, fantastic.
Oh, top notch.
I think I had problems with story overall. I mean,
well, have
not,
you,
not a bad movie. No. Just I've got some issues with it.
Yeah, I dug it. But have you've watched the trailer for Midsommar, right?
I watched a new one recently. I think there's a new one out.
Yeah, I've seen, I think two of them come out so far. I don't think they give a lot of story away, but we can kind of glean what I've been comparing what I've seen in the trailer to Wicker Man. And that's not, cool. I didn't love Wicker Man. I don't think that Ari Aster is making Wicker Man.
Bees.
Yeah. Nicky Cage just jumps up there and is like, bees, and I'm Ghost Rider. But
I can walk in both worlds.
You know, a lot of people shit on new horror movies for being rated PG-13. And I don't necessarily think that being rated R makes your movie better. And I don't think that being rated PG-13 makes your movie suck. Like, it just needs to be a good movie, period. Right.
Sure. It just, that whole rating thing argument is ridiculous to begin with.
I 100% agree.
Just because things are R-rated doesn't mean it's automatically going to be a better movie. Just means they can do some more things. You know, they can swear more for one. So just seriously, that is not a hurting. You know, that is, if that's your basis for not even giving it a chance, you're missing out. You're depriving yourself.
100%. But Midsommar, Ari Aster's new film, has received a hard R rating. And I can tell you specifically what it got an R rating for. This is according to bloodydisgusting.com, your source for horror news that we read to you. first off is disturbing ritualistic violence. Second, grisly images. Third, strong sexual content, graphic nudity, drug use, and language.
Yay.
I'm super interested in the strong sexual content and graphic nudity.
Incubus wasn't enough for you?
No. I mean, it wasn't very graphic. It was rated R, though.
I think any modern film that it's always doesn't include like strong graphic or anything. It's like, I get the feeling that it's like, are you putting this in the movie just because you can? Like, what purpose does this actually serve? Some people actually, I mean, some I can see, but some I'm like, okay, that was pointless to show that for 15 minutes.
After watching Hereditary, I don't think that this dude just throws shit in to throw it in. You know what I mean? I don't think he's going to be that kind of director that's just like, you know, we need another titty to fly through here. Let a titty fly. He just doesn't strike me as that way. He's very art housey.
Yep. That's another reason why some of this stuff doesn't click with me. I'm very art house stuff is always 50-50 for me. I'm going to like it or not.
You heard it here first, folks. Eric is going to like Midsommar or not. And we will tell you very soon. Cause this flick comes out on July 3rd. That's next week.
It's probably one I would not waste my time going to theaters to see.
Wait, just because that is last week. By the time people are listening to this, that is last week.
Yes.
Midsommar coming at you hot and heavy with R ratings.
Midsommar coming at you this summer.
About July 3rd.
Yep.
Oh boy. Your turn, bud.
Isn't that technically the beginning of summer? Didn't we have like the first weekend of summer?
It just happened, didn't it?
I mean, shit, I don't know what the seasons are anymore. You can't even tell when it's summer or wintertime anymore in this in the world. Yeah, so another cool thing. You like podcasts, don't you? Everybody likes podcasts.
I enjoy them. I enjoy making them with you and, you know, they're various other projects.
They can be entertaining, creative, profitable. Just depends on how good you are.
Sure.
Those who are listening, you're listening to a podcast. Weird. Mind blown. There's another new podcast with called Casual Fridays. Same premise, kind of looks like The Office, but this one has three hosts: Kane Hodder, Felissa Rose, and Tiffany Shepis.
You should read the title of the podcast again one more time.
Casualty Fridays.
There we go. You just said Casual Fridays.
Oh, my bad.
I was like, what the hell?
Hey, I have a stutter. Okay, it's my cross to bear. Yeah, this is for this. I'm assuming this is a Fangoria exclusive podcast. I haven't listened to it yet. I just heard about it recently, but I don't know if they really lock them in for 48 hours in a room. Or this is an ongoing podcast. I don't know 100% of about this, but I guess you can find this wherever podcasts are distributed.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Most of the shows, like even the stuff that Shudder puts out on their channel, I think you can just subscribe to it through your podcast apps. They have an RSS feed. It's anything you can listen to Spooky Dudes on, you can probably listen to the Shudder stuff on and the Casualty Fridays as well. Check them out. I love Tiffany Shepis. She's good.
She's one of the trying to think. Well, what is one of her breakout roles?
Scarecrow.
Really?
Remember that old slasher movie from like
2001? Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
She had, she's like the badass chick with short hair. Also, Bloody Murder 2, Closing Camp. Victor Crowley, the newest Hatchet movie.
Yeah. How many Hatchet movies have there been? Four? Three.
Four, yeah. Four. This is Hatchet 1, 2, and 3. And, oh, she's also in Tales of Halloween. She's in one of the segments of that, and she's in Sharknado 2, the second one.
Yeah, I wouldn't put that on my list, but hey,
yes. Scarecrow was 2002. That was the first thing I saw her in, and I enjoyed
it. She can be in the remake of Jaws. She's in a shark movie.
Hmm.
It's coming.
Yeah, man. I need to get those Scarecrow movies again. I actually enjoyed those.
I think I've seen the first one, and I think they did. I think there's a second one. It's called Dark Harvest. They're the same ones I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I think so. Something. I can't remember the subtitle, but there's two or three of them. I had bought a box set or something a long time ago that had all of them in it. Scarecrow Slayer. That's one of them. Yeah, I don't know, dude. Anyway, that's what I remember from. So, without further ado, let's talk about Incubus. The Incubus.
Oh, one other thing we didn't mention that I just found out about today. Did you know Terrifier 2?
Yes.
It's now been confirmed. Apparently, they're not going to have any restrictions when it comes to gore and the sequel. So I'm genuinely curious what they're going to do.
Yeah, they're crowdfunding it currently on Indiegogo.
I think it's like 200% complete last time I looked.
It probably is. Did you look through the pledge levels?
It has over $100,000. The goal was $50,000.
Yeah. I mean, the people love this movie, but the thing is, if you want the Blu-ray through this campaign, you have to pay $100.
I'm good. I'll just watch it one on like a stream it or something. I mean, I don't love it that much.
Actually, no, the Blu-ray sold out at $100. They sold 25 out of 25 Blu-rays and 25 out of 25 DVDs for $85 a piece. Oh, wait, that was for signed stuff. Yeah, I guess you just can't get it. Penny and I had talked about doing the Scriptifier, maybe, where they ship you the script.
Is this one of those limited edition scripts from a certain zombie movie we love?
No, it's the script for Terrifier 2 signed by Damien Leone.
Oh.
But, yeah, I really want to see this movie being made. It's going to be made, apparently, so... And it has 39 days left. I think it took 2 days or something like that to get to 228% funding. That is the power of Art the Clown, dude.
Hey, art's entertaining. It's going to be a good time. before we get into the movie, one last bit of news. And this, I knew about this from a few weeks ago when I watched the E3. We've mentioned a few games here on the show. There is another game coming out soon. Did you know they're making Blair Witch the game?
No.
It looks surprisingly, I'm curious about it. It's first person, walk behind, holding a camera, camcorder, and a flashlight. It kind of reminded me of, remember Alan Wake?
Yeah, oh yeah. Alan Wake was cool.
I love that game. It kind of reminded me of that game, but that'll be coming soon. That was the trailer was recently announced at E3. Coming from PC, Xbox One, PlayStation, I believe Switch, could be wrong, but Switch though. But yeah, it looks interesting.
We'll have to check that out. That sounds like really right up our alley for this show. Sweet. All right, guys. Well,
let's jump into it.
Let's jump into it like a vat full of demon semen. All right, here we go.
Lord.
So, The Incubus.
It'll be a sticky one.
Hick. The Incubus, directed by John Hoff. Oh my God.
What's the name of the movie again?
The Incubus.
Oh, let's say The Incubus.
The Incubus. Directed by John Hoff. I don't know how you say it. Starring John Cassavetes, Carrie King. I thought
it was John Hughes the first time I read it.
I almost said that and I was like, no, I'm like, way. The Breakfast Club?
Left turn here.
What is it? Pretty in Pink? 16 Candles? John Cassavetes, Kerry Keene, and John Ireland. The plot focuses on a small... This is Wikipedia, by the way, guys. Small New England town where a mysterious figure is raping and murdering young women. The film was written by George Franklin and based on the 1976 novel of the same name by Ray Russell. Our movie starts off with a couple teenagers hanging out at a rock quarry. The first words uttered in this movie are, "You bitch."
A couple, meaning two. A couple.
Yeah, a guy and his girlfriend. The guy is murdered brutally, and the girlfriend is brutally raped. And she survives and gets taken to the hospital with a ruptured uterus. And so the doctor, who is our main protagonist in this, he is Dr. Sam Cordell. He's a surgeon. He's taking care of the girl whose name is Mandy. He also has a teen. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, played by John Cassavetes.
Yeah.
Who is also famous for playing Guy Woodhouse in Rosemary's Baby.
Yep. He's had quite a few flicks in his career. Let's take a second to bring some of those up here. Directed, too. Let's see. Looks like he started off in 1951 in 14 hours. He did an episode of Alfred Hitchcock Presents. He did Rawhide. Looks like a lot of TV stuff. Did a lot of TV stuff, it looks like. Incubus, Tempest. Yeah, lots of stuff. Aside from this and the Rosemary's Baby, though, I don't see a lot of horror here.
No, it's more like Westerns, crime dramas, top stuff.
It's like he had quite a career, though. Lots and lots and lots of stuff going on.
I just know him from Rosemary's Baby and The Dirty Dozen.
Was he the boyfriend, husband in Rosemary's Baby?
I can't remember.
Looks like
him. I think so.
Anyway, so he's really good in this. He's probably one of the high points, I think. There's one point where he kind of overacts, and we can talk about that later, but I think he's pretty good throughout the whole movie. He's very serious face. He has a teenage daughter named Jenny, who we are introduced to as she comes out of the shower buck naked as he walks up the stairs. That's a little weird.
It didn't say, I don't get the insinuating. I mean, maybe they weren't trying to insinuate anything, but
I don't think so.
Gets out in full frontal nude and just like, you know, let's focus on the dad's reaction and like, watch her be like, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, when you live with people, a lot of times you end up seeing them naked by accident. It just happens.
True. This is like creepy.
It's well, at first I thought it was creepy, but then I don't think anything weird was going on there. At first I was like, oh, it's his girlfriend getting out of the shower. He's like, yeah. And then I was like, oh shit, that's his daughter. Cool. Not cool.
Is it, what does it say about me as a person? Because the first thing I noticed during that scene is like, man, you guys have god awful wallpaper. That's literally the first thing I noticed while that scene happened.
I don't know. Maybe you need to be an interior designer.
Maybe.
That happens. we go back to the hospital. Dr. Sam's talking about Mandy's injuries. The nosy local reporter, Laura Kincaid, she arrives and starts questioning them about the injuries to the girl. The police kick her out. That night, we flash forward to the library and museum. As it closes up, the librarian is brutally raped and murdered. During her autopsy, Sam finds the woman...
She's probably one of the most graphic of the rapes.
Yeah. She's kind of smashed against a door and all kinds of stuff. There's an inexplicable amount of semen in her vagina, like a lot. So they're like, oh, a bunch of guys raped her. And they had a lot of semen. Fill a
coffee can, apparently a size jar.
Yeah, and it's red semen, which that's also weird. They're still trying to question Mandy. I think at this point she's still passed out or in a coma or whatever happened there. Sam shows Laura some pictures of his second wife who's dead, and she looks just like Laura, the reporter. The next day, we flash forward to a farm, and a man and his two daughters are all killed. Tim, who is the boyfriend of the daughter, he's having these nightmares, and he believes that they're somehow related to the killings. He goes into a theater trying to keep himself occupied, and a girl in the bathroom is yanked under the bathroom door, and the door is basically destroyed. She's raped and killed right there in a bathroom. When the sheriff comes to the bathroom, he checks out the door. He's like, it would take a very strong person to bend this door.
Not true. Just saying those bathroom doors are in the men's room anyway, are pretty damn flimsy.
Well, remember, this is the early 80s, man. Maybe it was solid steel. I don't know.
Maybe.
The sheriff and Sam, the main character, they're kind of working together through this whole flick. They get to the crime scene before the reporter. She comes in there and she insists on helping them. She tells Sam that she found some historical records of Satanism, and the town's history. Tim, who is the guy who's having these nightmares, comes to Jenny's house. He's freaking out because he thinks his dreams are getting people killed. Sam, the doctor, wants to get a sample of his semen to compare it to the giant coffee can full of red semen. Of course, they don't match. Tim and his grandmother meet with Sam and the whole crew. Laura, the reporter, reads a passage from a book detailing shapeshifters known as incubus, which I think the plural is actually incubi. They manifest through dreams and can appear in human form. The grandmother reveals that Tim's mother died before his birth, and she had been accused of witchcraft. She had some psychic powers.
Did we give a spoiler warning by any chance?
No.
About to say, man.
Spoilers, if you don't. You can check this film out on Amazon Prime, guys. Just pause right here. The greatest twists in the movie have not been revealed. Just know that there are lots of rapes. They're not super graphic. The grandmother tells them that she's a witch hunter and her family has always been witch hunters, and that the dreams are caused by witch hunting.
It's a really nice piece of advice she came out and said, the witch hunters, and then serves no purpose whatsoever.
No, it's a little weird. She also grabs a dagger at this point. I think it's labeled the incubus dagger or incubus knife or something like that. At this point, the girl, the reporter and Tim is the guy having the nightmares that we suspect has got something to do with the killings. And then the doctor and his daughter go back to their home. Jenny, the daughter, goes upstairs to sleep. And Laura brings her a Coke.
Just a Coke.
A Coca-Cola.
There you go.
Sam, the doctor, his plan is to induce Tim into the dream state so he can see if Tim turns into a demon or what happens. And so he starts kind of getting, what do you call it? Like
having a seizure, foaming at the mouth.
Yeah, but what the doctor's doing, it's not like hypnotism. It's kind of describing the dream and saying, yeah, come out here, demon guy.
Basically, I'm trying to make him relive the dream.
Like a suggestion. It's like a...
Yeah.
Yeah. And apparently at some point the grandma handed him the dagger. I'm not sure. I don't remember seeing that, but he has it. They never showed her handing it to him for sure. Tim goes into this state and we kind of see this dream he's having. We finally see the incubus, which I thought looked pretty cool. Not a very big creature. It basically breaks down a door, and in the dream there's a naked lady tied down to chains, and then there's a bunch of monks in the room. The incubus comes in and kills all the monks one by one.
This is a dream that's been reoccurring throughout the entire movie.
Yeah. You've seen little clips and bits here, and then finally you're seeing the whole thing. Once he's dispatched all the monks, incubus jumps on top of the woman, who we then see is Jenny, the daughter of the doctor. And, you know, he's about to rape her. And so Tim runs up to Jenny's room and he goes to attack Laura, the reporter. And he says something about, you're my sister.
Which makes no sense.
Yeah, I have no idea where that came from. And then Tim gets stabbed by Sam, the doctor, with the incubus dagger. he dies. And then Sam, the doctor, gets up and hugs Laura. This is the ending of the movie.
And the twist.
And he looks over as he's hugging her and sees his daughter lying in bed, bleeding from her naughty bits and dead.
We're adults here.
Vagina. Her vagina is bleeding.
Hee hee.
The undercarriage is bleeding.
Man.
So
there is a flash while he's looking at Laura. Is it Laura?
Yeah.
While he's looking at her, she flashes back and forth between the incubus and her, like, because again, shapeshifters. And the movie ends how it began, as a close up on a dilating iris.
Yep. I thought it was a cool ending, man. I really, and it's a real bummer. Downer, yeah, ending. It's
a pretty impressive movie.
You know, I thought it was good. It threw me for a loop. Like, I never, we were talking about this before the show, and I honestly never saw the twist coming. I mean, I thought at one point maybe this girl's the incubus, but I thought, no, probably not. I was wrong. Well,
the entire movie, they're painting it as it's this girl's boyfriend who's having these dreams. That's who you think until they do a semen test on him that proves him wrong, but it's like he's still connected somehow. So then you're confused again. And the grandmother, she's acting shady throughout the entire movie. And when you find the big reveal for her, like, oh, she used to be an ex-witch hunter and she adopted him. His mom was a witch and she may have been impregnated. It's basically, it's leading to the fact that maybe he's the offspring of the incubus, of an incubus or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, so maybe he's the one, he just don't know it, and he's going to be stabbed. But me personally, when Laura took the Coca-Cola to the daughter's room, I had the suspicion of, like, she's the incubus. I had and then they were paid off. So yeah, where do you want to start on this? Let's go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
The couple at the rock quarry, if your wife, girlfriend, sister, family member, whatever, yes, they're hiding seek playing a joke on you, but if you hear them make a blood-curdling scream, would you not drop the shit you're holding and run in the direction to see if they're okay?
Yeah.
Just stand there and, like, cut it out, guys. I'm like, what the?
Yeah. Well, that whole scene was unrealistic. How many guys are dating girls and, like, you go to kiss them and they're, like, playing hard to get or messing with you, and your response is, you bitch. I'd get fucking slapped.
Man.
Probably worse than that.
Hey, calm this PG fucking.
We can say it once as long as it's not a sexual connotation. It'd still be PG-13.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's that. Well, this movie, this is the first time I watched it. I've seen the cover numerous times. The cover, I always thought, the cover, I've never really looked at much. I thought it was like, oh, an alien holding a woman. Then I read the description. Like, no, this has to do with supernatural and demons. Like, okay.
The cover's super misleading.
And apparently, this movie is just called Incubus. It's the title's missed. It's not meant to be the, it's just, that's part of the taglines. It's repeated, promoted. It just kind of stuck. It's meant to be the Incubus.
On the poster, it looks like the original poster art. It's, they put the.
It's, I'm trying to think. What happened after that? The doctor, I don't know, just the whole dynamic, because I'm assuming him and his daughter just moved to this town. Then nobody knows him real well, and then all this are happening.
Yeah, they're new in town.
He gets in this weird, like, are you the police now? The way you're trying to solve stuff, the dynamic of him trying to solve stuff, but I don't know.
Yeah, there's maybe some separation of duties that shouldn't have been crossed over, but he's necessary for a lot of this, because apparently he's the only surgeon in town, so he's the only one that can look at vaginas and figure out how much semen's in them, or...
His descriptions of the act of what happened and the damage they've done on these women, that is probably one of the most disturbing things this entire movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's very detailed.
Yeah. I mean, graphically, there's really not a lot going on here. It's the stories you're hearing, kind of the after effects of these attacks, that's really messed up. And that's kind of what I like about this. Like, it's kind of gratuitous without being gratuitous, you know?
It's disturbing, but to a point, but that's the point. That's the thing. That's I like while watching this. That's why I like my older films, especially ones that they keep that 50s, 60s theme, don't show the monster. And This movie moves at a certain pace. It's kind of a slow pace, but what they're doing is they're building tension. You can see the tension. This movie, it definitely pays off at the end. The end, it does justify sitting through all of it. Yeah. But I feel, and there's a lot of good acting. But I feel a lot of modern horror movies, they miss out. It's like the pace and then the story. It's just you can still be clever and supply some gore with surprises, you know. But you don't be so scared of showing little. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Don't overshare without having things to back it up.
Not every movie has to be Hatchet.
Yeah.
I liked it. Yeah. I thought it was good. Let me ask you a question.
Hmm.
Do you think this movie could benefit from a modern day retelling?
Maybe, but I feel like it would be a lot more graphic.
Do you think it could be successful today without being graphic? More graphic?
No.
See, that's the thing.
Not in today's modern audience. They don't have the if you can't focus on something,
attention span.
They don't have the, attention span for a lot of these things.
Yeah,
it's really slow. What's that one movie? Is it Last House on the Left? No. Oh man, I was trying to give an example of a good slow horror film. It's fairly new. It's the way it builds tension is fantastic.
The Witch.
Lord, no. Something else. Hell House?
The Haunting of Hill House?
Hell House.
Hell House.
No. Crap.
Describe it. Let's play, figure out what Eric's thinking.
I'm forgetting this actor's name. He played the drug lord in RoboCop 2. You'll know who I'm talking about.
The dude that was in that 70s show?
No.
Red Foreman?
Oh, it's killing me.
The drug?
Hold on. As soon as I tell you his name, you'll get it.
Okay.
Tom Noonan is in it. Tom Noonan lives in this house. It's a cult movie.
Oh, the House of the Devil.
House of the Devil. Thank you. The
movie's fantastic.
Yeah. It's very slow, and it builds tension amazingly. And it pays off. It's really good. So my point is, like, you could redo this film, but it has to be in the hands of the right person. I feel someone, if they see this, like, well, this needs to be super graphic to really, like we want to take this and make it 10, I spill in your grave times 100. I just don't think that would work. It would for a certain audience, but you got it just needs the right touch.
Yeah, or change the story drastically.
The story here, it's not the greatest. It's not the worst. It's pretty. It's just, I feel this movie, if it was a little bit tighter, it would have been really good.
Yeah, I think they could have buttoned it down a little bit more. It's good though. I like it. We've been picking weird stuff lately, and I was not disappointed in this one. Yeah, it's a good flick.
Well, John Hughes, he's also, I mean, you ever seen Twins of Evil? He did that one. He did Legend of Hell House.
I love Twins of Evil.
Just trying to think. He did something else I remember. I know he's worked with Roger Corman, I believe.
Twins of Evil, you know, if you guys listened to the episode 2 weeks ago on Vampiros Lesbos, Twins of Evil, another fairly erotic vampire movie. Love it. With the Collinson twins. Okay, I got us off on a tangent here. Anyway, yeah, so I dug it.
What would you say? What would you pick away? Three positives and three negatives.
Three positives. John Cassavetes' performance was a positive, except for the part where he's like, I don't remember exactly what he says, but there's one moment.
He constipated? What was that?
No, saying? He like freaks out and he starts and he screams something. I can't remember what it is though.
Was it when he's screaming at the grandmother and she's talking about rape is normal, what happens?
Maybe. She doesn't say that, but she's basically saying that, right? Like, it happens in life, you know? And he's like,
yeah, he gets, well, I get that. What he's hamming up a little bit, but he's like saying, if kids go to school and you're raped in the, like, is that normal? If a woman who's raped in this library, he gets his frustrations at things like, he plays very mellow, like,
he's super mellow most of this movie.
And then all of a sudden it's like out of nowhere rage.
I like the creature. I thought it looked cool. And the other thing I liked the pace of it. And I like how things were just kind of slowly revealed over time. We just got little bits and pieces and it felt kind of organic. It didn't feel forced. Nothing in this movie, in my opinion, feels forced or, the exposition isn't like a huge info dump. I think, you know, like some movies, they'll just be like, they won't give you shit. And then like all of a sudden at the beginning of the third act, they're like, well, it's a demon that comes out in your dreams and sleep. And, he's a shapeshifter. And, if you stab him with a magic dagger and a witch hunter, I mean, they did have that weird conversation toward the beginning of the third act, but,
which makes no sense because you think it's going to go somewhere after that and it don't.
Yeah, it's, but we've already had these flashes of the dreams and we've seen what this creature can do to people. And so I think I like the pace of it. And I never felt like they were treating the audience like we were stupid, you know?
No, which a lot of modern films kind of do. It's pandering to the audience because of, again, that short attention span mentality.
Yeah. Stuff I didn't like, some of the dialogue, like I said, with the movie starting out with you dumb bitch or stupid bitch or whatever, that seemed out of place. And then the dude jumps off of a rock into the quarry itself and goes, bitch, all the way down to the water. And I'm like, there is no way this dude is ever having sex with this girl again. The sheriff, his performance was pretty good. It was a little too mellow, I think.
I think it's the time period. You don't really understand what time period this is taking place.
Yeah.
And like at first when you're watching this, it makes you think like this is an older film taking place like the '70s or something. But then it starts introducing the '80s music and it's like, okay. Like even the sheriffs, they're wearing uniforms you'd think in the late 70s, early 70s.
Yeah. I would agree with that. And then I do like the ending, but the twist, I feel like it could have been done a little bit better. Like it's still kind of weird to have this female who is the the antagonist who is the demon, and we yes. haven't known, you know, until the end.
It makes no sense.
It's well, Incubus is a male creature anyway. Like, I mean, I guess it can. I didn't know that they could shapeshift anyway, but you know, I guess it's in this book that it's based on.
Well, I don't know my I know it, when I was watching the movie, it didn't click. And like, oh, Incubus, and then there's the succubus. I guess the male version, the female version, and then
exactly.
I went down a rabbit hole, man, on Wikipedia. I'm like, oh, more useless knowledge. To me, anyways.
Well, now you know, man. You can watch out for incubi.
All right. I'm going to watch out for pesky reporters bringing me a Coca-Cola in the middle of the night. I have nothing to worry about, though. Apparently, this incubi only can want women.
Yeah. You're safe, dude. What about you, man? What did you like and dislike about this?
I liked the constant pace. It's the story. I don't know if the twisted story was intentional. Maybe it's because this is where the story gets so clunky. It's kind of things to flow together, but there is a constant pace of different stages of the savage attacks. And they just kind of like, they maintain the harsh take no prisoners tone throughout the entire movie. You know, it keeps things very grim and really that unsettling gloom and doom type atmosphere.
Oh yeah.
And it sticks. I don't know if I liked it or hated it. It did make me giggle. Like they kept the more and more the way the script was kind of vaguely like, there's a monster out there with a huge cock that leaves in massive amounts of quantities of sperm. I'm like, okay. Like, cause you don't even get to the incubi aspect of it towards the third act. I guess that's a love hate for me cause I find it funny. It kind of takes me out of the movie some, but the acting overall, it's not bad for all the characters. Laura, the reporter, the daughter of a doctor.
I liked the daughter. I thought she was really good.
She was really good to me. Everybody, I had no problem. I thought they were all really good. Even the sheriff. What was the one law enforcement official that called in? The one who's like, oh, we have 35 officers coming.
Oh, he wasn't a law enforcement guy. He was some sort of mayor. Or something like that. He was some kind of government official of the town.
Well, the mayor was the guy who looked like a, you know, unpainted clown. The mayor was that one bald-headed guy with the bozo haircut.
Yeah, yeah. With the glasses, yeah.
Yeah, he's the mayor. The other guy was somebody else they called in. District attorney or something like that.
Was it the other medical person?
No, he's just real tall. He was the one they meet in the morgue. And that's one of the things I watched this movie. It's where, like, is this how people really treat corpses? He's wondering, what's this girl's problem? He's just smacking her head around. It's like, what happened to her? I'm like, one's a dead body. You're just kind of like smacking around like it's beach ball.
I guess he's a coroner. I don't know.
No, he's called in. He was bringing more police force in because he was the one who kept saying there was a gang of people raping people.
Oh, God, I don't remember him at all. That's how memorable his performance was.
I just found he was kind of his overacting kind of. He's one of the negatives. I think most of the negatives would be, it's just kind of the story, the twistiness of it. It kind of butts heads in places. The obvious doctor's wife who's passed away. And, this reporter that apparently looks just like her, like enough to where they're always sucking face for no reason or like really, really intimate. Never enough for they just met. It kind of makes no sense.
Yeah, he does kiss her oddly at the table when they're talking about Incubus knife and all that.
This is serious. Give me a smooch first. What happens is it's weird. Or when they first meet, it's like, I mean, I get it, but it's not explained. It takes you out of the story. All this, they still build the tension. It still flows. It just hits a lot of bumps. Like I say, if this was a much tighter movie and a tighter script, this could have been really good.
Probably could have shaved off about 15 minutes and,
I could have shaved at least 25 seconds from the second rape scene, the librarian.
Yeah. That one was pretty brutal.
Her rape is, and again, it's not graphic in a sense, like you're going to see penetration or stuff. It's these very slow screams and slow motion type stuff. It's like, man, I get what the effect they're trying to do. Also the screaming of this movie, Jesus.
Oh yeah, it's good.
Good Lord, man. There is some.
It's intense.
Yeah. Yeah, that's about all I got for a nutshell.
So, recommendations?
I'd say yeah. It's a good rainy Saturday flick. It's one if you've never even seen any of Twins Evil. Twins of Evil. If you've seen that, or there's John Hughes. It's worth checking out, especially with John Cassavetes, because I really liked him in Rosemary's Baby. And he does really good, so it's definitely worth watching.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm gonna recommend this if you're one of those people that just needs like slashers and really fast paced horror. I'm not gonna recommend it for you. If you're into stuff like The Exorcist and The Omen and movies that kind of have that little bit of a slower pace, and you know, just something a little bit different. I would recommend this. It's got a good mystery going on with it, and some good performances, and yeah, I think it's a good movie.
It's a good twist. The ending is definitely a payoff.
Yeah, definitely.
One thing I liked that we didn't mention. So most of the deaths in this movie are based on, you know, rape / murders.
Yeah.
There's one in this movie. It's probably one of the most brutal kills in this movie. The two women and the farmer lives on this farm. One's in a wheelchair. There's a dog apparently is stuck in a barn. Well, the daughter in the wheelchair gets her dad to go look for it. He's got a double barrel shotgun. You see their canine has a pitchfork shoved in at the dog. And out of nowhere, a shovel comes out of nowhere, jamming into his throat, almost decapitating. And he blows his foot off with his gun.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I'm like, man, when I see him, like, whoa, that came out of nowhere.
Yeah, that is really... pretty crazy when that happens. Cause, you know, you already got this, you know, this dude's going to die. And yeah. Then he also blows his own foot off before he dies.
And his head's not cut clean off. It's like halfway through the shovel. Yeah. That's when then the whole monster angle, it's all done from a point of view. You never see the monster to the last end except for a hand. And then after that, it gets, you know, what's coming for these girls. I didn't know there was two daughters. I thought there was just the one in the wheelchair. So instantly you're gutting, you're feeling like, man, that's the tension that it builds. You know what's coming, but then avoids the girl in the wheelchair and goes upstairs and rapes and attacks the girl in the shower. Then girl in the wheelchair goes upstairs. Well, it's not upstairs. It's one level. She goes down the hallway, can't open the door, and she sees blood running out, and she starts slowly backing away. Then the door busts off the hinges, and it cuts outside of the house. She's screaming like, man, this really kicking in the guts with the brutality.
Yeah, I dig it. That's
it's an interesting movie. It's worth checking out. It's like, it could be better, but it's not bad on its own.
Yeah, man. That's four thumbs up for the Incubus. So Eric, you have another question to answer.
Oh shit.
Oh man. Gonna put you on the spot here.
What's that?
What is your next pick, sir?
That's a good question.
I'm always asking the good questions. That's what they say about me.
I did pick it. Let me just make sure it is streaming currently.
Sweet. Speaking of mysteries at a slow pace.
While I am searching if it's still streaming, there's another mystery that you could help us solve. It's the mystery of exposure.
Yeah, guys. Hey, you know what you can do? It's not a mystery. You can go to iTunes, give us a 5-star rating and review us. Just say, there's so much semen here in this Spooky Dudes podcast. We don't know what to do with it.
Hashtag demon cock.
Hashtag demon cock. Also, hit us up on Facebook. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. I'm trying to post on Instagram more often. Pretty much any time I watch a horror movie, I try to post something about it. And then, of course, I post the episodes and whatnot. Or if you want to send us an email, it's spookydudespodcast@gmail.com. And, you know, I would like to hear from you guys. How are you listening to the show? Are you listening through iTunes, Google Play? How do you get your episodes of Spooky Dudes? Do you use our website, which is spookydudespod.com? I don't know. Let me know.
So it is streaming, but I cannot find a release date when this came out. But it is the Boar. It's a Shudder exclusive, having an outgrown, a minivan, a stray boar roams the boundary line of an outback roams the boundary line of an outback town, massacres several backpackers before venturing into the locals and to hunt the locals. Sounds interesting. It has a cool poster, but this is streaming currently on Shudder, and that'll be next week's pick, 2018.
Sweet, dude. Sounds good. Check out more.
We've been in the 80s for a little bit. Let's venture to the modern day.
I keep pulling this back to old times, man. I'm all about the 70s and 80s shit right now.
I bounce back and forth. We'll go back to the 80s for me pretty soon.
I feel sure people can probably guess what my next pick's going to be.
Something with rape.
No. Something like Wicker Man.
Bees. Really Wicker Man?
No, man. I think I'm going to pick Midsummer.
Oh, God.
We haven't done a single theatrical release. We have to do something at the theater.
I did Child's Play. You didn't go.
That wasn't an episode. That was a prequel, dog. Or what do you call it? Intro. It'll be fun.
You're going to go to the theater and watch that.
Yeah.
Be real. Putting you on the spot.
I'm going to be real as shit, dog.
I'll just record it for me. Let me know.
I got to support my boy Ari Aster.
Oh, my gosh.
Best horror movie of 2018. Let's see if he can have the best horror movie of 2019.
Do you have a picture of him also next to Greg Nicotero? He just kind of lovingly stroked like, hey, buddy.
Yeah. It's got flocking on it, so it seems like he has facial hair, so I can cuddle with it and feel the tickle. Hashtag feel the tickle. Okay, guys. Check out Boar on Shudder. I'm going to check out Boar on Shudder, and I'm going to keep working on Eric until he goes to see Midsummer. It's going to take some work.
Let's just hope Boar is not a bore.
I hope so. And let's hope Midsummer is also not a bore. I doubt it. I think it's going to be pretty intense. Jordan Peele likes it. He gave it a raving review. That guy's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm in the boat of people who don't like just because Jordan Peele says it's good. I'm like, oh, man, it must be awesome.
No. I don't think necessarily because he likes it, it's awesome. But it does. It does call attention to it, I think. But that's it for this one, guys.
Hey, fun fact. Bill Moseley is in Boar.
Oh, then you know it's good. He's in so many good movies. Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 2, House of 1,000 Corpses, Devil's Rejects, various other things. Yeah, check out Boar. Boar, not Bore. And we'll see you guys next week. Thanks, Eric.
See you guys.
Stay spooky, my dudes.
Why should I listen to the Nerd Bliss podcast?
Because we go there.
Where?
Everywhere.
Human sexuality.
They don't care what's in your pants. They love you anyway.
Time travelers.
The problem is time will f*** back with you.
Politics and fandom.
What Star Wars has been prior to Disney. It is a white male driven universe.
Find us at nerdblisspodcast.com.
And on social media at nerdblisspod. Part of this complete breakfast and the ESO network.
The Nerd Bliss podcast.
Listen!
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Spooky Dudes Podcast. Beep, yeah.